when they look at someone that is blind, they see their own reflection in its complete purity. And the consciousness that does not behold impurity can heal. You know? And that's very important, because the more we practice it, the more it becomes handy for the people that we love around us that need our help. You know? I told that to a lady, and she practiced it one night, and her whole family in the same house had different experiences. We talked about transcendental mind together for quite some time, and she was very, very dedicated. She was extremely alert to practice, and she did a marvelous job about it. And the whole family is changing through her dedication, amazingly. So these are not just a lesson we learn in school. This is a life's art of living. Art of living happily, joyfully, peacefully. So next time we have a thought that is taking our attention uselessly. I'm not saying if the thought is very important to the work, the type of work you do. But the vagary of the mind has to have no place to go. The vagary of it. Through this exercise, we'll develop this deep understanding for those people around us. Like you were saying, that your reaction is different towards your children. Because your understanding is different. Now, you didn't come here to hear from me that you need to be kinder, you need to be more giving, you need to control your anger. We didn't do any of that. What we did is we recognized the truth and what is false, and the understanding grew. Right? And the understanding grows. Any other comment or agreement or disagreement?
Well, the understanding keeps going too.
Oh, yes. This is a very interesting thing you said, because once the channel of understanding opens up through spirituality, through the right path, it goes from a narrow to a wider tunnel, wider and wider, until your conscious is embracing the whole truth. Yeah. And it never will close up to where you were before. You know, you might have moments that you think you're too dry, or what's happening in your life, and as if you have never taken a step. But they're very temporary. You go back to where you start, as where you left off. And so we're, mind is a very powerful when we believe in it, and yet is nothing, and yet it has no power, right? Anybody else?
Mind is very powerful when you believe in it,
yes.
And yet we have no power.
Yet it has no power at all. It's the belief of it that creates the concreteness of the mind. Mind has no shape, no form. It's just made out of energy that could be. That's what we were talking about last week. The mind, the thoughts, are the beliefs that are giving form to this bundle of energy. And we read it, or like a telegraph. You send a telegraph someplace, and only the ones that has, you know, knows how to read it, right? So as here, the mind takes this energy and makes all sorts of impulses. Only I can read it. You can read your own mind. Do you know what I'm saying? So the mind that has no impulses because we have not paid attention begins to go like this. The next thing we know is nothing but that energy. And the energy without the impulses is God, is awareness.
And so how do we evolve into that? And if we figure out how to do that, how do we stay in that position?
That's exactly what we are doing. Now, what happens is, this is not a process of overnight, but once this knowledge is given to you, if it's guarded with your interest and practice, there is no way in all the earth and beyond that will not wake you up. It cannot not wake you up. So what we do is, when we understand that these impulses are happening, because the mind thinks, this is the mind moving, all thoughts.
All this complicated stuff.
Yeah, but this is getting the energy from the truth, from God, that has no attributes, it has no shape.
Pure.
When, because of the association of these impulses on this energy, begins to type in, or whatever they do for a telegram, and then your senses picks it up, your mind picks it up and reads it. So, what we do is, when we unmove by these impulses, because when we give our attention, we see it moving more. It begins to move more, as if we're blowing on it with our attention. So when you quit blowing on it, giving it attention, what happens is, with enough practice, not overnight, sometimes it might take a lifetime, the sooner the better, these movements begin to decrease. Remember, you guys, this is the highest truth is being spoken here. Not because I say it, because it is. You can practice it and see for yourself. So this begins to fade away, the impulses. And you don't need to read it anymore because you're not paying attention to it. If I pay attention, I start reading and it starts creating. I'm not paying attention, so it has no receiver. It begins to calm down. And the impulses have, there is no need for impulses. So they begin to merge into the energy rather than separate itself by it. When you merge into the energy, you become pure consciousness, which you were before you were born. And that is God. This is God is. Pure consciousness, Satchit Ananda. That is a waking man.
So to practice that,
to
get
practice,
better at it, you
that's
do it
right.
in meditation?
Constantly. No, it doesn't have to be with your eyes closed. In fact, I'm much more successful when I was practicing it, and whenever I need to practice now, with the eyes open or half open. You just sit still, unmoved, unmoved. The thoughts come, the thoughts go, unmoved. You're not even watching the thoughts, you're just unmoved. So when you go through your daily thing, again, as soon as you remember, just don't go with it. Unmoved, untouched. This is a practice you have to, we each have to find out for ourselves, because the words can point you to it, but the understanding comes from you. And I would suggest that we, each one of us, should practice until it's proven right.
Well, what a monk does is chant for many, many hours. They go om, they go om.
Yes, that's right.
Doesn't that put all those little thoughts to rest and allow the pure consciousness?
But as soon as he stops, they're all back. We are hitting the roots of it by understanding. Chanting is wonderful, but meditation is great, but they are not remedies. Because as soon as you come out of your meditation, you're calm, and then the waves start happening again. Do you see that? So it has to be a conscious waking up. We have to be consciously wake up. The method that I gave tonight. A good man is a good man, goes in heaven. A monk is a noble man, and his practices will eventually take him to this elimination we're talking about. But one that wants to wake up has to point to the elimination of these impulses, rather than doing all sorts of ritual and gymnastic of it. They are just preparation, they're just steps. Believe me, if we had not been a monk, if we had not been even a spiritual teacher in past, if we had not done enough meditation, and I'm not saying because I'm egoistic, I'm nobody, but this is the truth, we would never meet in this room. Why? Because the highest is being spoken. That is what I can say. You can take it or leave it. You can say, oh, she's full of it and never come back.
I'm sorry, you said what is spoken?
The truth, the highest truth is being
highest
spoken.
Truth.
Yes,
okay.
Very spoken. And this is why it doesn't have enough buyer. Because first of all, it's not for sale. Second, not too many people are ready. They need to chant. They need to serve. They need to meditate for hours and hours. They need to have out of suggestion and change the good thoughts to the bad action to the good action. But once you have done all of that, you are ready to receive the waking up call. Not before that. So when we see a monk is going up the ladder, when we see ourselves meditating, we're going up the ladder. But the last few step is aimed at the truth of the matter in order to eliminate the sleepiness.
In your daily activities, have you been thinking about this and practicing for many years, I assume? Did you feel like you're close to that pure thought?
Well, this is what happens to me. And just because you ask, I share. By through the practice, you begin to know less, which is ironic because you should know more. But for some unknown reason, you begin to know less and less and less. As your knowledge decreases, your opinion decreases, because you have to have a knowledge to have an opinion. You can't just go around and say, I think is like this. As this decreases, for some unknown reason, which is unknown to my mind and my body, there is a knowingness that begins to come up that is not of this world. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you follow? Now, I don't know why it happens, but through this practice, this is what happens. And if someone tell me off guard, say, do you know? I would say, oh my God, I don't know. What is it that I should know? And yet, there is a knowingness that can be channeled to anything that I have never learned before through a school.
So you still have the information and intelligence on things that you need to know.
Even that, I don't need my intelligence. That sounds really weird. I don't think I'm intelligent at all. In fact, a lot of people call me stupid. Because you don't, when you have started, for some unknown reason, this has started in you, you don't need your logic. You don't need your discrimination. You don't need your mind. Actually, they mess it up every time I use it. It really seriously messes it up. You don't need anything. You get to the places that you need to go. You will meet the people that you need to meet. They will come to you as they need to come. You know without knowing, you know, and people say, how did you know that? I don't know. That would be my answer.
And you don't care to know.
Oh, God, no. No, I don't care to know.